Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to be talking about the Kingdom of God, and we're going to be talking about trolls for the last time. And it's been a long subject. There's quite a few hours, but we're using this subject to spring off of to give you the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom are the keys to liberty under God. It's the way in which free societies have formed intentional communities that have withstood huge difficulties throughout the ages. Bondage, freedom, wilderness, destruction, enemies, wars, everything has faced the people who have decided to form a community in a certain way. And that way is the way of Christ. That's what he was teaching people how to do. There's a spiritual element to it, but there's also a physical reality to the kingdom of God at hand. He took the kingdom away from the Pharisees. He said he was going to do that. He did it by the words of their own mouth when they said they had no king but Caesar. And then Caesar turned around and said Jesus Christ was the king of Judea. And anybody who, because they had already made the rule, anybody who got the baptism cast out of the system set up by Herod and the Pharisees. So there was a transition. It was a huge nonviolent revolution, pretty nonviolent. The Jews who became Christians were still Jews. That's what Judaism was. The ones who refused and denounced Christ, they are no longer Jews. They were Romans or something else. They might call themselves Jews, but the Bible says they are the synagogue of Satan. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about being anti-Semitic. That's the kind of the whole point of this particular episode is that in the last few shows, we're talking about people who are trolls going around condemning this group and condemning that group or condemning people by groups. It's kind of the identity politics. And, you know, the one fellow, Jim, if you go back and you'll find his name, but I don't want to pick on the poor guy. But the reality is that Jim doesn't really understand the gospel according to Paul or according to Jesus Christ. He probably has some good ideas, but he's missing some very important elements, which makes his perception of the kingdom, of the gospel of the kingdom, that's what it's called, the gospel of the kingdom, a distortion of what it really is, and therefore what he is teaching is a lie. But I'm not saying he's a liar, he just doesn't know. He's under kind of a strong delusion, he's confused. And maybe if he listens and he studies and he looks and he prays about it, maybe it will awaken in him and he'll begin to see. You have to be given eyes to see and ears to hear. But basically, Christ was teaching Christians what Moses was trying to teach Israelites, what Abraham was trying to teach all the people round about him, what Melchizedek already knew, which was how to form this free society that not only sets you free from things like the bondage of Egypt and the bondage of Babylon and the bondage of Rome, all of which you're in again today, which is, but it actually keeps you free and keeps you safe to some degree when you become free. You will be persecuted if you really follow Christ. Sooner or later, somebody will want to persecute you. But that's where that spiritual power comes in, and it can actually protect you. But you will be tested in all this. You know, the whole mark of the beast and the wrath of God. I mean, there's been several marks of the beast throughout the history of mankind. A prominent one was at the time of Rome, and I was saying that today was Nero's birthday. Most people don't know that, but I happen to know that because I have a son and a grandson who were born on the same day, but they're not like Nero. But Nero was doing all kinds of things behind the scenes. He probably did not die when a lot of people think that he died, when he was stabbed in the face by his associate when he came back to Rome after he had begun a process of fleeing Rome, and there was a revolution, and he came back to be captured by the mob, and moments before the mob got him, he was stabbed in the face a bunch of times, and he's dying there, and he says the actor dies. And we know it was, they say they knew it was him because his associate there identified him and that he was wearing the jewelry of Nero. Except for millions upon millions upon millions of dollars in treasure had already been confiscated from Rome and disappeared. There had been a bunch of ships down on the coast that he was supposedly going to get on those ships and flee. Those ships did leave, supposedly without him. But legend had it for hundreds of years that Nero actually survived. This was a double that they assassinated. And then he actually went to Jerusalem, of all places, and married a prominent woman there and went off and had children way up north in the northern part of the greater Roman Empire, and lived in a valley with a lot of his cohorts that help support him, and but the legend goes on from there, but we won't get into that because that's not our subject. But there's all kinds of things in history that most people miss. They don't know. Some of these things in history have really been sort of kept from you so that you don't know them. Some of them are right there in the text, but because they change a little bit of definition of words, they tell you that this means this or that means that, you start to miss it. But when you start finding all these pieces of the puzzle of where we came from, what Christ was doing, what Abraham was doing, what Moses was doing, what the early Christian community was doing, why did it not only survive but thrive the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, and was the Dark Ages really as dark as everybody says? Well, those are the kinds of things that we discuss at Keys of the Kingdom. Those are the kinds, some of those things we only discuss around the campfire that we don't talk about on the radio and that sort of thing. There's a lot of things. We're not a secret society. We're pretty open, but we just don't tell everybody everything. Christ didn't tell everybody everything. And his apostles asked him about that. Why do you always talk to the people in parables? He says, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries, the secrets, whatever, but it's not given unto them. So evidently they were getting instructions that other people didn't get and are probably not in the biblical text. But you can find those instructions. You don't read them in a book. You are inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will lead you to where that information is, and then you will know it if you are meant to know it. You don't need to know all that stuff. You just need to know how to love your neighbor as yourself in the way that Christ did. You know, there's a love that can weaken your neighbor. There's a charity that can weaken people. You don't want to give that kind of charity. You don't want to give you want to give the tough love. And so that's kind of why Jim brought his little condemnation of us out way back in 2017, and we never addressed it. I sent him an email. I said, what you're saying is false. That's not the way we think. And we just did. We've got 2 hours posted on him already. We have another, in 9 days, we'll have another 4 hours posted, and then we'll have this hour, which hopefully finishes up. But if I'm going to finish it up, I better get on to it. So one of the things we already gone through is 10-point plan to determine whether somebody is really doing what Christ says and following the gospel. And we actually fit into almost all that. Some of his things are a little, well, they're not so out there, and they're fine. He can do them, but they are not the way, and we've already gone over this, that you determine whether or not somebody is doing what Christ actually said to do. And there are very specific instructions in there so that you can check yourself. Because it's not my job to go around condemn other people, you know, Seventh-day Adventists or the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Lutherans or the Methodists or the Mennonites. There are good people in all those places. What they've memorized as their religion and their catechism, whatever you want to call it, is sometimes getting in the way of being what a real Christian is. And of course, we've already gone over some of that, but we'll touch on it again. So in his critique of us, I think there were 7 points. I don't know, it may go quite a bit longer, but basically he said we had no biblical gospel message. Well, we do. He said we didn't talk about the cross. We mentioned the cross more than the Bible mentions the cross in our writings on either one of our webpages, preparingyou.com. And that's a wiki site. That's people driven. I write a lot of stuff there, but anybody who is, an active minister, or even active congregant in the network, can get access to write on that website. And there are a lot of other contributors besides me, and there could be a lot more if people would start to gather. Now, when I say ministers, these are unpaid ministers. These are volunteers. This is a voluntary society that Christ was creating. He explained that. We've explained that. So anyway, to move on here. So he was wrong about that. That's part of the false accusing. We do talk about that. He just didn't take the time. He admitted it's a huge site, both hisholychurch.org and Preparing You. There's a lot of stuff there. That's why we have search engines on it. That's why we have the network to help navigate you around. So if you have a question about this, you have a question about that, there's answers already up, because we've been answering questions for decades and explaining how all this fits together. Everybody doesn't have to learn that. You can just start doing the basics, and that's fine. Some of you have a mind for it, and you want to get more answers, and we have that. So it's just whatever the Spirit is leading you to do, we're here to serve. Second thing, Gregory and his Holy Church failed the 10-point Bible test. Well, we went through that this morning. We actually don't. We agree with almost everything there. Although we may not agree with the way Jim interprets some of those things. And he does a few things he takes a little bit too far. He can do that because it doesn't hurt anything. But he's requiring other people to see things his way or they're out. Well, that's not really the way it works. So anyway, the idea is to see things Christ's way, the way Christ taught it. Paul talked to you about things that are hard to understand, and evidently Jim had trouble understanding some of those things, and we'd love to help him out. But anyway, we're not doing this to condemn him just because people are bringing this up, so we're sharing, and we've done the same thing with other people who, you know, accuses of being a cult and all that kind of stuff, which does not fit, which we've already gone over. Number three, Gregory makes Apostle Paul out a liar. We've already gone over some of that too. No, I don't. I think he was absolutely right on. But again, a lot of people don't understand some of the things that he's talking about. And we go over it. That's why we have all these study plans. If you want them, you don't have to take them. You know, if you want to ask questions about the Bible, we have all the Bible at Preparing You, and we're building steadily little side panels that you can use for reference, so that when you look at these things, and we add footnotes so you can check us out. But really, the way you determine isn't whether or not, you know, you say all the right words and jump through the right hoops. It's whether or not you are actually coming together to care for one another, to be there for one another in righteousness. See, that's it. Seek the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. So what does that look like? And what was that early church doing? We have lots of information about what they were doing. I'm not going to be able to go over all the quotes that we, I put down here, backing up the statement on number three in his deal. So we'll just go on to four and see if we can get through all these, because I'm not really sure how many he has here. Gregory has the theology of a preterist teaching. No, I do not. And is focused on the gospel of the kingdom. Well, I am focused on the gospel of the kingdom because that's what it's called, the gospel of the kingdom. It's not called the gospel of the cross. We understand how the cross plays into this. But like I said, we're supposed to pick up our own cross. He saw that I was a member of a Facebook preterist group because my Facebook was open. I'm going to seal a lot of that. I almost never posted that. I just joined it to see what they had to say. And I was curious because there is a problem with the way a lot of people put together, you know, their interpretation of the prophecies, that some of those things already happened. They will happen again. That's why they're repeated. This is a common thing in the Bible. They won't necessarily happen the way some people think. You know, everybody's worried about the chip. The chip, there is a chip. There are people getting it. Sweden, a lot of people in Sweden are getting it. A lot of businesses are already getting a chip. And you can actually do business with that chip. It can be scanned and do all sorts of things. But the mark of the beast, we have a whole study group, section on that. It's not a chip. It's something that's already here. And if you have it, you're not condemned, but you may be tested during hard times. And those hard times, I'm not sure when they're coming. There's a lot of evidence to believe that those hard times are not far away. I mean, the government's going bankrupt again and got to extend the credit. People are talking about weather change. I don't think it's caused by carbon dioxide. I think it's caused by the sun, which, of course, Jesus said, look for signs in the sun. And, of course, there were signs in the sun back then when Tiberius was the emperor and Jesus was walking the earth. And there were earthquakes and there were volcanoes and there were all kinds of things that were going on back then. And there may be those things going on again here. But whether it's a fire in Paradise, California, or a nuclear power plant going Fukushima, or, you know, martial law, or whatever it is, if you seek the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, you know, like people having their kids taken away from them because they're homeschooling. Some states, that's actually a problem. But if you're a part of a network of thousands of people who care about your right to homeschool your kids, you can find protection in that. And I say that when you come together in the name of Christ, which is coming together to serve, there's a spiritual element that kicks in that I cannot show you in typed words. It's something you just have to experience. And it actually brings about occasionally healing, awakening, understanding, all sorts of things start to fall into place. But you can just take the journey yourself and see, because this is a free assembly. This is a voluntary community. This is an intentional community, and there is some form that we follow, but it's very flexible. I mean, there's form that you have, two legs, two arms, but you're very flexible. At least some of you are. I'm not as flexible as I used to be. Anyway, he says, Gregory is anti-government teaching, which is, that actually doesn't make sense as a sentence, but anyway, which is counter to what the scriptures tell us. No, I'm not anti-government. I am pro-government. I am pro-God's government, and I am perfectly fine with the rest of the world having their governments and everything else. And we explain this in great detail. He brings up Romans 13, 1 Peter 2. He says, obey the rulers over us. He doesn't even know what Greek word is there for rulers. And he doesn't know what Romans 13 actually says or why Paul says it. We go into great detail explaining Romans 13. It's one of the common quotes that we always hear. I've been on CNN, and one of the first questions out of their mouth is asking me about government. And I said, I love government. Think government's great. Even bad governments. You know, God said to Samuel, and this is what Paul is saying later in Romans 13, that governments are there to punish the wicked. Unfortunately, who are the wicked? Sometimes it's the people who start the government. I mean, socialist governments that believe in electing men who exercise authority and force people to contribute to the welfare of their little select identity group, that's coveting your neighbor's goods. That Christ was not a socialist. He believed in redistribution of wealth, but you get to do it. It's called charity. You don't give somebody else the power to force people to give what they think is right. You allow people the right. And we used to do this in America. That's what made America great. It wasn't the president. It was the fact that Americans were taking care of Americans. They were taking care of each other. Sure, there are bad guys in America. And there were good guys that came to the defense of other people. We have a very distorted view of history. And we can go through and show you how people, and this is, you know, a government study I discovered it separate from the government study, but then later I found the government study that shows that a group of very wealthy men designed back in 1908, 1914, 1918, got together and decided they needed to change the way in which Americans viewed history by altering the school books that we were studying in school. And they had a whole plan to do this. It was all uncovered by the government. And that commission, I can show you recordings of the people who are on that commission. I can show you the actual books. I have a huge collection of school books. Show you how they were changed. I can show you who printed the books, who wrote the books. And this is a reality. Now, all that can go away if you stop being slothful and try to find out the truth about, was Jesus anti-government? Were Christians anti-government? Why was the government coming after them? They weren't anti-government. And I'm not anti-government. So that's a false accusation. And again, I can't go through it all on this recording, in this podcast, but we have very clear documentation as to what those verses that he pops up with. And you go try to find where I say I'm anti-government or say anything that is anti-government. I am not. Anyway, I'm not for every single government. I mean, obviously, there's some really bad governments out there, and there's some really bad government programs out there that are actually weakening the people and undermining things. And where are they? I mean, I have a whole book on contracts, covenants, and constitutions, and it basically goes over the United States Constitution in relationship to the Bible and the principles that are explained in the Bible. And yeah, I'm not a big advocate of the Constitution. I don't want to do away with it. It's a pretty good document, but there are flaws. But I also show you where early Americans, Patrick Henry, lots of others, who opposed the Constitution and why they opposed it. That would be good for everybody to know, to read the Anti-Federalist Papers, know why they thought there was a danger in the Constitution. Because some of the dangers that they mention were prophetic. And that's where a lot of things have kind of gone wrong. That's why America's not great anymore. But to find, you don't get rid of the Constitution, although it will, if the economy collapses and the government collapses or we're invaded or whatever, there could be all kinds of major worldwide disasters that could end the Constitution. I don't have to end it. I am very positive. I'm telling you what you can do as individuals coming together and forming intentional communities. You don't have to all move to Montana or anything. You can do it right where you are. Start caring for one another. There will be people in Montana. There'll be people in North Dakota. There'll be people all over, but they'll be connected. And if you have to move from your town, like a lot of the people in Paradise, California had to move. Some of them are up here. In Oregon now. Got jobs. People opened up houses. We could do this if people come together. And that's the way America used to do it. And right now it is a great opportunity to start that process of creating that intentional community without moving anywhere and selling all your stuff and getting into some commune. The first article I ever wrote years and years ago, I wrote it for a magazine called Iconoclast. And it was the first one I ever wrote that got published anyway. And it was commune versus community. God does not want you in a commune. He wants you in a community. And where you own your place and your neighbor owns his place and you come together to help one another and you get to decide how to do that. Because that's what strengthens you. But anyway, he goes on in number 7. Gregory does not teach or instruct those who join his living network. It's not my living network. We went over this. Christ commanded that his disciples help the people organize in a network. And this is described right in the Bible, Mark 6, if you want to go look it up. And that is the way that the church that was established by Jesus Christ, the community established by Jesus Christ, the Christians, the way, that's the way they organized. So it's not my living network. I'm just showing you what's in the text. He doesn't want to look at it because he's looking for the word network. that's just an English word now, but Christ clearly shows that this is a way. And they had to do this. If they didn't do this, they wouldn't have survived. But anyway, in the fullness of God's word, leading to holiness. So anyway, but I do. So I don't know what he's talking about. He's just making these claims. Because I'm talking about the individual seeking the righteousness of God, taking care of one another, helping one another, standing up for... What are the weightier matters? What are the weightier matters according to Jesus Christ? I mean, he said this. Law, judgment, mercy, and faith. How do you do... If somebody has their kids taken away from them, or what have you, overzealous bureaucrats, shouldn't you be doing something about that? Well, Jim don't even know it's happening because he's not in a network. He's not finding out. If he don't know you, if he doesn't stumble across you, if you're hungry and you're freezing in your house because your heat's turned off, he don't know because he doesn't create a network. But the early Christians created a network so that it... And when they came to church, that's what they wanted to know. Does anybody need anything? Does anybody in trouble? Is anybody having health issues? I mean, we have helped all kinds of people out with health issues because they don't know how to take care of themselves anymore. They just go to the doctor. Well, I can show you all kinds of solutions in my personal life that have helped me, that I learned through the network. I should have had my gallbladder out, according to doctors. Didn't. I cleansed it. And it hasn't given me trouble in years and years. I had tendonitis so bad I couldn't pick up a hammer when my youngest son was born. I couldn't even lift him up out of the crib. Well, I can't lift him up now either, but he's over 6 foot. But one treatment that I learned through the network on this plaguing situation of tendonitis in my wrist, gone. And never has come back. I'm 70 years old. I'll outwork 2 35-year-olds easy. There's lots you can learn that cost you nothing. But it's sharing that information. We don't have all the answers, but we're looking for answers that can help one another. That's our driving force because we gather to serve. And that's what Christ came to do. I am one who comes to serve. That's what you should be doing. Not going around condemning one another because they don't have your particular private interpretation of Scripture. It's really basic. So anyway... On the site, he warns and forbids groups talking about doctrines or discussing what they disagree on. No, we don't. On the what we call the Google groups, which are the network groups, those have a particular purpose. Those are people who want to find other groups to gather with in their local communities based on geography. So if you join in Texas, everybody in Texas will be on that group. There are people who know a lot of people in Texas who don't check the group all the time, but if you check with them, they may be able to link you up with other people. But it's going to take you guys working on it. I'm just one guy out here in the wilderness saying, make straight the way of the Lord. Now we have, for those of you who want to discuss things and argue and debate stuff, we have a whole set of groups. We call them the Yahoo groups. The link's there at Preparing You. And you can go on there and bring up anything you want. You can disagree. You can discuss whatever you want. You can't start cussing out people. We will, coming on and saying, putting on porn or saying that Christ never existed and stuff like that. I mean, if Christ never existed, we might as well all go home. But even if Christ never existed, this is still a good idea, I tell you. But Christ did exist, and this is what he's trying to tell you. And so the idea that we don't let people discuss that, there's over 18,000 emails discussing that on the Yahoo groups last count, which was years ago, so I don't know where it stands now. It's not real active because we don't argue and debate all the time. Most people, the answer, I mean, that's how we wrote all the books, all of which are free. All the audios are free online. The YouTube videos, they're all free online. You don't have to sign up for anything to see them. We're not trying to get your money. Yeah, if you want to buy a hard copy book, yeah, we're going to have to charge you for that because I just don't have the resources. But if you want to read the book, you want to print it out yourself, go right ahead and print it out. It's on in PDF, HTML, PHP. It's on in all kinds of different formats. All the articles are there. So anyway, so he's wrong again. False accusations. Didn't take the time to find out. He says, I could go through all this and write them back, and but then I've done this with people, and they just come back, and they jump over here, and they jump over there. They want to find something wrong with you. Go to his website. He's got hundreds and hundreds, and you can figure out he is if you listen to, I don't want to promote him, but if you listen to the other audios, I mention his name, and you can Google him and find him. I think his wife's Debbie, he's Jim. So anyway, as a matter of fact, if you Google His Holy Church and Brother Gregory or Gregory Williams, his website will probably show up somewhere on the page, along with Darwin Fish, another guy who's a bit of a troll going around trying to find something wrong with everybody. He's got a huge list of people, everybody from Alcoholics Anonymous to, I don't know, all kinds of people. Oh, they're all bad. Don't go to them. Don't go near them. They're all wicked. So anyway, number 8, Gregory believes in hidden writings for his truth. Thus, he is adding to the Bible. I'm not adding to the Bible, not one bit. He goes, Revelations 22 forbids this. I'm not, and I am not using hidden writings. That's why we have footnotes. We're using standard concordances, thesauruses, dictionaries, regular sources, and we use sources outside the Bible. We put the footnotes down, and that we're using historical sources sometimes to corroborate what we're saying to show that, wait a minute, this does fit together with what happened, and this fits together with what happened, and this fits together with heaven, and this is why Nero did this, and this is why Tiberius did this, and this is why Pompey did that. And so it starts putting the history together, so when you read the Bible, you're not reading it in a euphoric B-movie view of history. You're starting to understand, oh, that's why they did that. So, yeah, we're not adding to the Bible one bit. I use the King James all the time, but I will go and look at the Greek. I will go look at the Hebrew, and I will show you some of the things that you just can't get from reading the top English, and we show you why. Because all the words aren't translated the same way all the time. There was clearly, even the guys who put together the King James said they did the best they could under the circumstances. What was the circumstances? He was working for the king. You think he's going to translate Romans 13 as it was really intended by Paul? Go read our article on Romans 13. You tell me if they could put it that way. But yeah, people say, oh, well, that's not what that word means in Romans 13. Yeah, it is. And so, well, most of the places in the Bible, it says power. Yeah, most of the places in the Bible, it's talking about Jesus. So, who is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So, it's talking about his power. What did he do with his power? He gave it back to the people. My gosh, pay attention. So, anyway, so that I have seen hidden writings and stuff like that. But that isn't how I came to the conclusions. And I don't use those. I don't use mysterious writings that nobody can get to. Although such writings do exist. They were down in the Vatican vaults and they're hidden away in lots of places and they don't want you to see them. But we don't need those. Yeah, we just need the honesty of the Holy Spirit and look at the Bible and find out how in the world did Moses free an entire nation of people? Why were the Christians so completely free? Well, we'll look at number 10, and that may help us understand. I'm going to have to take a little bit of a break here in order to please the people that run this deal, and then I'll be right back. Hang on. Well, that's the only commercial I'll put on because I'm trying to get all this in here. So, number 10, he says Gregory believes in strange things, like the Temple of Ephesus was a world bank. It was. So, you know, I mean, it's the fact. I mean, it had the most secure vault in all the Mediterranean. It was built by 127 different countries who donated money to build it. It was the central financial area for that part of Greece for a long time. But then as the temple grew, the temple was actually moved several times over its long history because of the fact that the delta where the river was coming down was changing the course of things. And so they just moved the temple and then it burned down once. But then one of the final times, the critical times when the apostles were coming there. It was a pretty big, elaborate marble building. And again, like I say, it was built. This is just history. He doesn't know history. 127 different nations contributed to building it. And one of the ways they did that, they paid for the different pillars because there's all these pillars in it. It would seat over 20,000 people. Like I said, it had this secure vault. It was investing money in fisheries and all sorts of transport. It was coining money even. All the temples didn't coin money. But that's one of the things, understanding what they were doing in the temples. And most people have no idea what they were doing in the temples. And it is kind of conspiratorially kept from you. But the Temple of Moneta was where they coined money. It was like the treasury. The Temple of Saturn is where they registered your birth certificates. I'm not making this up. That's why we put footnotes, so you can find these things out. Why were they registering your birth certificates? Because you were collateral for their debt, for gosh sakes. This is not new. Nimrod did this. Rome did it. Even Herod was starting to do these very things, building temples like the Temple in Jerusalem. He also built the Temple of Roma, setting up the same systems. But if you don't know what they were doing in these temples, you don't understand what Christ was doing in those temples and what the apostles were doing in those temples, like the temple in Jerusalem, where they worked daily, but not to bind the people, not to bring them into debt, to curse their children with debt by borrowing more and more money from people, bankers, that they weren't going to be able to pay back. They were setting the people free by teaching them the gospel of the kingdom, which is what the Bible calls it. But people say, oh, this is strange. So anyway, he goes on and say the strange thing. He says that God had Israel doing were the FEMA, Federal Emergency Management, he says association, but it's Federal Emergency Management Agency of God back then. But actually, that's not what we say. You can go to our article, FEMA Preparing You. And what we do is we take their anagram for Federal Emergency Management Agency, and we change it to Faith Emergency Ministry Auxiliary. And it's just that all the different congregations, if there's a problem, and, you know, like the Paradise Fire, or the fire and weed that we had out here, or maybe they'll have a tidal wave in Florida or whatever, and people need help. If we have a network already in place of people who know how to help one another. We had people up at the hurricane up in New York helping out way back. When there was a power plant that was about to go Fukushima in the Midwest, we had volunteers. When the people living near, some of the people in the network at that time lived near that power plant. And if it went off, if it started to melt down, they'd have to move out of town. We had volunteers all over the country saying, well, that we have an extra place. They can come here. That's great to have that kind of in hard times. What happens if there is a food shortage and they go to rationing? Where are you going to go? You know, well, I know places, but I ain't telling you on the radio. But when I get to know you in the network and you start communicating, there's a meeting tomorrow in Florida. If you want to get on the network, if you're in the Florida area, I notice there's lots of calls coming in on the board. Get a hold of us at the network at Preparing You, and you can hook up at the meeting. A lot more people showing up there than I thought was going to show. They wanted me to come, but I'm not a cult. They don't need me. They need Christ in their hearts. So, yeah, all the congregations automatically, if we all care about one another, form what you could call, if you wanted to put a name on it, and I actually have a hat where somebody sewed it onto the hat. They got somebody to make it. But it says FEMA, but it actually stands for Faith Emergency Ministry Auxiliary. It's just people helping people. Like during the hurricane, we had people out chainsawing and clearing driveways and helping people. We had the people bringing food down to food kitchens when there were fires down in California. We do all kinds of things like that. But what you know what we do when we do that? We start finding the active, generous, loving, honorable, moral, upright people. Because they're all out there on the work line. You know what you find when they have a free food kitchen during a disastrous fire? You have tourists coming in to get free food. And they get in line. Now this food is is for people who just lost everything and some idiot gets in line because he can get a free meal. Well, you know, if I was there, we'd boot his rear end out of that line and send him packing, because that just weakens people. And it's you need to be responsible dealing with charity. Number 11, there's more of these than I thought. Gregory says God's servants can't own land. He lives on a farm in Oregon. Actually, I live in a house that belongs to my kids. But the church actually does own land. The church always could own land. They just don't own land as a personal estate. Now, most people won't understand that. But Christ is very clear, and we show. See, we explain all this. It says, if you want to be one of my disciples, this is one of the disciple ministers, you have to sell all your property. He actually says a word that means property there. But they don't translate that, because ministers don't want you to know that. Because the ministers, we just read about a minister who bought a $200,000 Lamborghini for his wife, I think it was. What in the world is that? All these rich pastors and ministers. If I had that kind of money, I would be doing it to help people out, not padding, you know, getting my wife a Lamborghini, for God's sakes. Everybody goes to him because he's a feel-good, he's an ear-tickler preacher, and they like that. Well, that isn't what the gospel's about. I mean, Jim, honestly, I agree with him on a lot of things. We don't have any church buildings. Actually, out on the church property, we have an outhouse. and we have some storage and a little office building, which is just a trailer that we cemented down to the ground, because, long story. But we'd like to build buildings. We'd like to build buildings where people can come as a retreat ground, because we could put 15,000-20,000 people out there on that property. It's mostly desert, but there's artesian wells and stuff like that. And we could put them out there, and they could get to know one another. And there was always retreat grounds. The Levites always had lands in common near every village. They had pastorages near every village, but they met in homes. So they didn't need big cathedrals and waste money on that kind of stuff, because they were a living temple, made of living stones, helping one another. We explain all that. So, yeah, as a personal estate, to be an ordained minister of the church, I don't own any land in my personal name. And everything I have belongs to the church. I mean, I have personal, a little bit of personal property. And I suppose my kid's going to have that when I go. They can go through my pockets and look for loose change. But the church, and there's a reason for this, and we're not going to be able to explain it all. If you think, oh, no, that's not it, well, you haven't looked at the evidence yet. So go look at the evidence and then come back and tell me if that's it or not. And I've told this and explained this to ministers, because they've, you know, guys in charge of the unregistered church, I say in charge, big mover in the unregistered church movement, because we're not an incorporation of the state or anything like that. And anyway, and you'd be surprised what we can get away with. I've been to Washington, D.C. a number of times saying, is what we're doing illegal? No. Is what we're doing, I've gone to other people, is what we're doing a cult? They look at it. No, that doesn't qualify as a cult. But people like to throw those labels on you. What we are is a network of home churches where our focus is not just on our little fellowship, you know, in Poughkeepsie, but it cares about all Christians everywhere, including the people who don't even know they're Christians yet, that have the character of God written in their heart, who actually will get off their duff and help people. And, you know, I remember seeing a guy getting mugging a girl once. I was the only one who did anything, you know, but by the time I got there, the girl was actually getting the best of him. You know, I could give you all kinds of examples of this. There are people who get out there and they're not afraid to stop injustice, to attend to what Jesus calls the weightier matters, law, judgment, mercy, and faith. That's what we should be doing. So anyway, yeah, we have some farm animals. They all belong to the church. All the money that comes from them goes to the church. I don't get a paid salary. I live at poverty level, but we live comfortably. I mean, as soon as I'm done here, I have to go out and get some wood that I've been chopping to heat the house tonight. But because we live simply, but we also go into people's houses. We lay hands on people. We help people. You know, an elderly fellow had to come home because he ran out of money. Well, he got better when we started taking over. So, and this happened a number of times. And it can happen with you guys if you start following the kingdom. That's that spiritual thing that's just mysterious. I have no control over that power. That's in the power of the Holy Spirit. But you become a conduit for that power if you walk in the ways of Christ. Nobody's teaching you that. They want to tickle your ears and tell you you're saved and everything. And there's a lot of people, you know, in the home church movement, they see something's wrong with the organized religion. It's not the fact that it's organized. It's the way it's which it's organized. It's not top down. It's bottom up. It's bringing your responsibility, God-given responsibilities back to you so that you can exercise them and care for one another. That's what made America great. That's what made the church great. That's what made Christians great. And we just have to go back and do it again. So anyway, number 12, Gregory twists the Greek and Hebrew to make his theology work. No, I don't. So anyway, you go, that's why we put the footnotes. You go check it out. You find where I mean, if somebody can make these blanket statements, show me where that is. He says, when asked on a video about homosexuality, he did not answer the question directly and then alluded. Did they really stone people in the Old Testament? Well, that's a whole ball of wax. Did they really build up altars, take sheep, set them on those altars, set them on fire to make God happy? Now, you think that? Okay, you think that. What if I said that one of the most popular, most loved group of Jews at the time of Jesus Christ that had teachings very similar to what Christ said, you can see them overlapping over and over and over again, said that the Pharisees' interpretation of stone altars and burning up sheep was a fiction and a fraud. They read the Torah, they read Hebrew, but they would have nothing to do with animal sacrifices on piles of stone. And that was the Essenes. So why not? Why didn't they? Well, we explain. We show you the Hebrew. We're not twisting it. It was already twisted when we got here. The Pharisees twisted it. And so you don't understand that the same word in the Hebrew, I'm not making this up, they'll tell you, same word in the Hebrew that means a gathering of stones also means a gathering of friends. You're supposed to give the kidney to the Levite. Same word for kidney is also the word for reins of control. In other words, you're giving your sacrifice to the Levites, and he's using it to serve the tents of the tabernacle. When somebody, you know, somebody's husband gets sick and he can't work and the family's all going to starve, he's there. He has food to share with them because the people have given to him. If he does a really good job at taking care of this, you don't need Social Security. You don't need welfare by men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other, which Christ said you were not to do. And we can show you right where he said it. Number 13, Gregory's Facebook page is full of anti-government items. No, they're not. You go show me. I don't see any anti-government items. I see some, you know, when they want to take away the guns of the people, I'm against that. I think that's bad. They want to take away free speech. I think that's bad. That's not anti-government. That's anti-bad policies. I'm pro-homeschool. If they want to attack homeschoolers, I'm against that. That's not being anti-government. You know, that's ridiculous. You know, so I say nothing about being anti-government. He's just making this stuff up. He doesn't take the time to find out. So you, if you want to know, come and take the time to find out. I'm going to change my Facebook page because I have grandkids and great-grandkids, and I want my family over on a private Facebook page. I don't want everybody looking at that all the time. But I will have a Facebook page where you can see all the supposedly anti-government stuff. I'm not against the government. I'm against evil. And if the government decides to be evil, and there has been evil governments in the past in the world, and there are some programs that come out of government that are evil, and sometimes overzealous people in the government do illegal things, I'm against that. I mean, you have people what is it, Justice Watch or Judicial Watch, they're trying to find corruption all the time. I'm against corruption. Okay, that's not being anti-government. So anyway, number 14, Gregory is feminized as he does not teach the truth for ladies. And evidently that means that I have to have put scarf on all my my daughter's heads and my wife's head, and I have to wear long dresses. Because anybody who doesn't make their wife do that, he says is feminized. Well, come on out here, Jim, and we'll see who's feminized. You just try to come and see how feminized I am. So it's just, he's just looking, this is why he's a troll. He's just looking to find fault in people. Anyway, Apostle Paul set up multiple elders, men only, to oversee God's true New Testament body. That was actually a network. He didn't mention that. Actually, no, we have an article on elders. What Paul was doing was taking elders. Elder in those days, which was a presbyter, was the head of a family. So he was taking heads of families, you know, men who had one wife and good kids and was running this family business, and he was putting them, he was appointing them over business. But if he did it like Peter, and I assume he did, he said to the people, look out amongst yourselves, find men you trust, and we'll put them over this business. What business? Well, it wasn't the business of building cathedrals. It was the business there was a dearth in the land. You read Acts. Dearth, that means there's like a depression, shortage of food, shortage of money, something's happening to the economy, trade's bad, something. And people are suffering. People are going without food. They're going without work, whatever. And they need relief. And Rome would send relief. Well, the church would send relief. And who are they sending it to? Men you trust. So, and he would appoint elders. You know, they'd say, this guy, we really trust him. Okay, I will tell Timothy to take the food and the supplies to that man. And that man will disperse it locally. But he wasn't, elders is not an office of the church. The church is a free assembly. So anyway, do I have any time left at all? Watch the clock here, because I'm seeing there's more numbers down here. 16. Is this all about money? Well, I'm not getting it. So it's not about money. Gregory has a donation button. Oh, that donation button. I didn't have that button for years. I was setting up these websites, paying for everything myself. My daughters were helping me figure it out, because I had to go away to work doing manual labor. You know, I mean, I was going to college classes when I was 13, 14 years old. I could have all kinds of jobs and make all kinds of money, but I'm giving everything away to other people and living on very small amount to help people learn to take care of one another so that they not only may be free, but they may survive freedom, which is kind of a trick in itself. But anyway, and people were asking me to put a donation button on there. So I put a donation button on, and I got a few donations over the years. I get a few donations now from some of the ministers who pass up a portion of what they receive. But as soon as somebody calls me and tries to connect with me, I tell them, get in the network. Join a local congregation. You know what that does? Most of the money that they might contribute if they see fit, which is up to them, will go to the local congregation. It doesn't go to me. If all that money was going to me, I could probably buy a Lamborghini. Instead, I can barely get my truck fixed. So it isn't about money, and that's defamation of character. It's beyond troll. He's just making that up because there's a donation button. The early church had Corban. Corban means sacrifice. It was the Corban of Christ. It was based on people donating. How are they rightly dividing the bread from house to house? Where did they get the bread? They say it right there in Acts. They're taking up a collection to do what? To help people in other areas. We've helped people. We had somebody who was about to lose his place. We paid his mortgage. We paid thousands and thousands of dollars worth of medical bills. We don't just pay them. Because we're a church and we show you how to do this, we'll go and negotiate that. Most of the hospital bills you get and the medical bills you get from hospitals, they're probably 10 times higher than they really need to be. They're certainly way higher than the insurance company's going to pay. You think, oh, the insurance company paid, you know, this. No, they settled. They don't pay it. We have articles. We have doctors, videos explaining that you're getting ripped off. But if you have the church and the church goes and say, we will pay this bill. We had a bill that was thousands of dollars for somebody who got hurt really bad. And they negotiated it down a bit. And so now they owed like, I thought they owed $9,000. And I guess they had owed that at one time. So when I called up, I thought they were going to settle for $900. And so I called up and they said, oh, you're the church? Because they were forewarned, because we have to be told, they have to be told that the church is going to see if they can settle this bill for them. We don't have to pay any of it. This is all a free assembly, and freely give, freely receive. And so I told the guy, so I understand he has a bill. And I said, yes, that we were expecting your call. I said, so how much do we owe? And he says, well, it says here 900, but if you pay 10% of that today, we will cancel the whole bill. So I was able to pay with $90 and cancel the whole bill. I thought, this is good. Good for the church. Good for the family. Thousands and thousands of dollars of bills just went away because they were in a network. And, you know, but we have paid thousands of dollars, and depending on what it is and what it's for. But we also show them solutions where they don't have to necessarily go to the doctor. We've actually sent ministers right to their house that helped take care of people over hard times, got them better, back on their feet. So we can do those kinds of things and charge not a dime to do it. We don't charge. Now, if somebody wants to help us out, they can. It's all free. It's not free. I mean, it costs us, but it's a free assembly. You freely give, freely receive, freely receive, freely give. And what happens is you find the people that you want to be, you know, all these people, survivalists who want to, you know, get together with their guys and survive whatever Holocaust is coming. If you're in a foxhole with a bunch of survivalists, when they run out of food, you're on the menu. When you're in the foxhole with our people, they care about you as much as they care about themselves. So that's the kind of network you want to form. I can guarantee that. Number 17, before I run completely out of time, Gregory writes about and speaks highly of the Essenes, a minor Jewish group. No, it wasn't. It was a major Jewish group. And Talmudic writings of the Kabbalah. Oh, he just doesn't even know what he's talking about. But anyway, they were the most popular group, even amongst the Romans. They said an Essene without an oath was more trustworthy than a Pharisee with an oath. So he doesn't know what he's talking about. But anyway, we got to the last one, I think. But anyway, until we meet again, peace on your house and may God be with you. See you on the network. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.